إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 10th session, reading from Ashru Qawa'id fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs, or 10 Principles Concerning Purification of the Soul, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our topic tonight in this 10th session is going to be the 9th principle related to purification of the soul. Before we look at this particular principle, we want to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week, starting first and foremost with the first 7 principles related to purification of the soul. First 7 principles. Number 1. Na'am, Abdul Haq. Tawheed is the foundation upon which the souls are purified. Number 2. Qaida Thani, Mustafa.
Dua is a key to purification
of the soul. Dua is the key to purification of the souls. Number 3. Somebody else. Now, who's that in the back? Thank you, Musa.
Al-Qur'anu al-Qarimu manba'u at-tazkiyati wa ma'inuha.
Naam, the noble Qur'an is the source, yani the spring from which purification comes forth. Number 4, Al-Qaida Rabi, Abdullah. Naam, yani taking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example and a model, role model to be followed. Number 5, Al-Qaida Khamisa, Naam, Murshid.
Purification is through adjourning and...
Naam, Al-Tazkiyah is...
Remember.
And takhliyah, yani takhliyah first is what? Removing the bad qualities, and then tahliyah, adorning yourself with good qualities. Number 6. Al-Qaida, Naam. Hand up over here. Naam, Muhammad Saeed.
Closing off the path which take the person away from
here. Ighlaq al-manafith. Naam. Closing off the paths that take a person out of the process of purification. Wa tub'iduhu. And distance that person from virtuous behavior and virtuous qualities. Wa tuqiyuhu. Radhila. And cause him to fall into, yani, lowly, despicable, vile behavior and characteristics. Naam. That's how many? 5, 6, 7. Qaida Sabia, Shu'aib. Naam. Remembering death and the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's 7, right? Okay. After that, second question is the principle that we had last week, Al-Qaida Al-Thamina, Al-8th principle, and related to purification of the soul. What is the 8th principle that we had last week related to purification of the soul? Who didn't give us the answer yet? Who didn't participate? Khatib.
Choosing companions and friends that are...
Choosing companions and friends that are...
Righteous.
Righteous. Yes. Good. Now, takhayyur. Takhayyur. Now, wa intiqa.
Takhayyur
al-julasa. Yani choosing, carefully choosing, yani selecting from that which is available the best, yani for your companions, for your friends, for those who you associate with. Now, the third question, memorize the ayat, 18th surah, 28th ayat, which the author, Hafidhu Allah, uses to support this eighth principle. Surah Al-Kahf. Now, Ibrahim. طيب, translation. Who wants to give us the translation? واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون نعم أبو طارق. Keep yourself patient along with those who call upon their Lord.
Your companions who remember their Lord with glorifications, praising, and prayer, etc., and other righteous deeds.
يعني worshipping Allah morning and evening. Now. Naam, seeking the face of Allah, meaning that they are worshipping Allah sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Naam.
And let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and the glitter of the hayat al-dunya.
Don't let your eyes overlook them. Go past them. Yani, look beyond them because you want the people of status and wealth and position. Naam.
And obey not him whose heart we have made headless, speedless of our remembrance, one who follows his own lust.
Now, and do not obey those, yani, follow those who we have caused their hearts to be heedless, unmindful, yani, of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who only follow their desires and their affair is lost, yani, their affair in this world and the next, yani, is lost, destroyed, finished, now, no benefit. After this, question number 4, discuss Imam Sa'di's tafsir of this ayat, including the commands. Plural, it contains, and the reason for the commands. Now, who's that? I can't see you. Umar. Okay, Umar.
قال السعدي رحمه الله في تفسير الآية فيها الأمر بصحبة الاختيار.
That's the first command. يعني this ayah contains the command, يعني to accompany, to be in the company of the good people. And that's the second command. And that you struggle against yourself, to force yourself to accompany these people, to be with them. And to mix with them. Even if they are the poor people. Even if they are the poor people who have nothing. Naam. Yani, the command to mix with these people, to be with these people, to accompany these people, and to force yourself, your nafs, to be with them against this, even though it may not want to, even if they are poor people. Naam. And this is the reason why Allah has commanded this. Because, yani, in accompanying these people, there is... فَوَائِدْ مَا لَا يُحْصَى. Uncountable benefits. Yani, innumerable benefits. Naam. Because being with these people, there's so many benefits that we can't imagine how many they are. This is how the Shaykh has explained it, and this is something for us definitely to think about. And Allah commands us to be in the company of the good people and to force ourselves to be with them, even if they are not the people that are worldly, yani have worldly, yani benefits for us. Because indeed, in accompanying these people, there are benefits that are innumerable, uncountable. Question number 5. Mention or memorize the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ commands us to carefully consider those we choose for a friend. Naam. Waleed.
فَالْرَجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحْلُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِهِ.
Naam. The person will be upon the deen of his khalil, his close friend. Yani, dear, beloved, close friend. So every one of you must, yani, yanzur, must look, consider, think about who you choose for a close friend. This is a very important hadith. It's a foundation that we must and he act upon. It's a short hadith with just a few words, and it has foundational importance for the foundations of Islam. A man is upon the deen of his friend. Discuss point question number 6. Discuss the main points contained in this hadith as explained by Imam Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi rahimahullah. What are the main points contained in this hadith? As Imam Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi mentions. Now, Abdul Haq.
من لا رضيت دينه ومسحلته
Yani, do not take as a close friend whoever you are not pleased. You're not pleased with his deen and his yani deenahu wa amanatahu and his trustworthiness, yani his integrity, his upstanding yani-ness. Don't take that person as a friend if you are not pleased with his deen and his trustworthiness. Now, madhabihi. Now, because indeed, if you take such a person as your friend, he will direct you, drive you, push you to his deen and his way of acting, of living. Now, and then he said also, secondly, in this hadith, and he said, do not yani subject your deen, do not yani endanger your deen and your nafs and yourself. Don't risk your life by taking someone as a friend who their deen and their madhab, their way, is not pleasing, is not good. Don't take such a person. This person will definitely cause you to put at risk your deen and your life. Faith, question number 7. Memorize the hadith containing the parable, the method of the righteous companion and the evil companion. Who memorized this hadith? Who memorized this hadith? 1, 2, only? Oh. Ya ayyuha al-shabab. La budda min al-hifz. Al-shabab. The old people, they get a free pass. Young people, you don't get a free pass. Naam. Fadl. Who else memorized it? Who else memorized it? Listen to him. If he makes a mistake, you have to correct him. I'm not going to correct him. You memorize? Abu Bakr? Jayid. Another one. That's 5.
كحامل المسك
وإما تجد منه ريحا طيبة وهم النافخ الخير فإما
يحرق
ثيابك وإما تجد منه ريحا خبيثة.
طيب, alhamdulillah. This hadith has been narrated with different wordings. In any case, this is how the Shaykh brought it from Bukhari. In Bukhari it has different wordings, but this is one of the wordings, and this is how the Shaykh brought it. Meaning of this hadith is the likeness of the, yani the one who sells fragrances, sweet-smelling fragrances, yani hamil al-misk. Or the likeness of the good companion and the evil companion is the likeness of the one who sells sweet-smelling fragrances, and the blacksmith, the one who blows the bellows. And then he says, yani he shows how the benefit and the harm comes from these two type of people. He said that the one who sells the sweet smelling fragrances will either yani give you a gift of some of the perfumes, or you will buy some from him, or at least you will get the benefit of the sweet smell from being in his company. As far as the blacksmith, then either he will burn your clothing, and some of the narration said burn your houses, and this narration burn your clothing, or you will find a bad odor from him, yani a bad smell from the blowing of the bellows. And this parable that the Prophet ﷺ has given us is for us to reflect upon, primarily to see that the good companion is going to bring you some kind of benefit, either greater or lesser. And the evil companion is going to bring some kind of harm to you, either greater or lesser. Definitely harm is going to come. Avoid the evil companion. and choose. Be careful in selecting the good companion. طيب, question number 8. Summarize the sharh of Al-Qadi Iyad rahimahullah concerning the hadith of the righteous and evil companions. Al-Qadi Iyad, how did he explain this hadith? Who can summarize what he said? Yani Waleed. Okay, so in this hadith, there's the command to avoid tajannub, the evil people, and the yani the what, the ahl bid'ah, the people of innovation, and the mugtabina lil-nasi, those who yani backbite the people. Yani this hadith contains a warning to avoid those people. Why? Because these, all of these people, the effect from them is going to reach, is going to penetrate whoever sits with them. Yani the harm from these people is going to affect whoever sits with them. Naam. And then he said, also in this hadith is encouragement. Al-Hadh. You say it with Ahl al-Khayr. And also so that you may take knowledge from Al-Ilm wal-Adab. And manners. Well, before praiseworthy characteristics. Husnul Huda, yani good, right, guidance. And then he said, Al-Akhlaq. What kind of Akhlaq? Al-Hamida, praiseworthy character. Again, this hadith also emphasizes the same point, yani the importance of yani avoiding the evil companions, avoiding the evil companions, and the encouragement to sit with the people of good and to benefit from them, from knowledge and character and manners and right guidance. Last question, mention at least one of the steps that each one of us must take in order to apply this hadith to our individual lives. At least one step that everybody has to take. At least one step. Yeah, it's mentioned. It's mentioned now. And in the last paragraph of what the Shaykh said. He said, فَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ نَعَمْ Musa. Al khair. Yani that is incumbent upon every person at least to be careful in selecting and choosing yani those people who are going to help you, who will assist you in doing good. And then he said after that also? Huh? Yeah, murshid. That's another hadith. I will come to that hadith. That's not part of the question, but we'll come to it. The second thing he said, Al-Hadr. Yani to be cautioned, to be warned against yani the people of evil and the people of corruption. For indeed, these people are more harmful to you than the scabies. Yani that insect that goes underneath the skin and lays eggs and it causes harm to the human being. Now, other hadith. The hadith that the Shaykh didn't mention, what is it? Now,
don't let anyone eat from your food
if they
don't have taqwa.
Now, you memorize it?
No.
Do not accompany or companion anyone except a mu'min. وَلَا يَأْكُلْ إِلَّا تَقِي. And don't let anyone eat from your food except taqi. And we talked about this hadith just a little bit. The Shaykh didn't mention it. But yani in general, the meaning is don't make as your companion that you stick with, that you always with. Yani, except the people of Iman and the people of Taqwa. That's the most that we can cover for tonight as a review from what we had last week. Inshallah, this is the tonight the 9th principle. One more principle remaining in the conclusion. Because of the change of the time for the class after Maghrib, so our time is going to be shortened a little bit. So please bear with me if I go a little bit more quickly in order so that we can try to finish. Bi-Ithnillahi Ta'ala. Al-Qaida al-Tasi'a, yani we're reading in English from pages 37 through 39, in the English translation, in Arabic from pages 35 and 36. In Arabic, page 35 and 30. Naam? Tayyib. Al-Qaida al-Tasi'a, yani the 9th principle. Al-Hadru min al-Ujbi wal-Ightirari bin-Nafsi. The 9th principle, Al-Hadr, yani warning, cautioning, beware from Al-Ujbu. They translate it as self-amazement. No problem. Al-Ujbu, yani it means, and we'll look at a little bit of what some of the scholars of Tafsir say concerning this, but it means that a person is vain. They're proud of their self. They think too much of their self. They think that they're the best thing that ever happened, the most learned, the smartest, the best at everything. And this will mean by al-ujbu. Yani a person who admires their self. Yani they're always saying, look at me. They're saying to their self, look at me, I'm really something. Al-ujbu. Yani al-hadru min al-ujbu. Wal-igtirar bin-nafs. Al-igtirar bin-nafs. Yani being deluded by oneself. Being deceived, misled. Yani being dazzled by your own self. Such that you are in a state of self-delusion. You imagine that you are other than what you really are. You don't see it as it really is. Al-hadaru min al-ujbi wal-igtirari bin-nafsi. Yani being just, yani conceited, proud of yourself, and yani deluded by yourself. Naam. And the Shaykh, he begins with, as usual, an ayah from the Quran, and then its explanation and some hadith and sayings from the Salaf. This ayah from the Quran is a very important ayah, and I just want to kind of look at what came before, yani where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions yani the people, other people. Allah describes other people before He mentions yani this point, and then He talks about how He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows the human being better than their own self. He knew you when you were brought forth from the earth, yani when you came from the wombs of your mother, when you were in the wombs of your mother. So Allah knows you better than anyone else, and that's when He says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, the meaning of it is, تمدحوها وتشكروها وتمنوا بأعمالكم. يعني do not praise yourself. Don't يعني be thankful to yourself. Don't claim يعني that you have done something. يعني do to your deeds. Don't imagine that يعني you have some worth beyond what it really is. Some of the other scholars also said يعني similar to this. يعني لا تشهد عليها بأنها زكية برية من الذنوب والمعاصي. يعني don't bear witness for yourself that you are pure, that you are free from sin and disobedience. Be careful how you look at yourself. يعني don't يعني consider, ascribe to yourself يعني righteousness, purity, such that you claim perfection, al-kamal, wa-tuhr. And some scholars said that, yani, in the Tafsir of Jalalain, in brief, yani they usually give yani a very brief explanation of the ayat. He explained it, yani, with another point that also we should consider: la tamdahuha ala sabil al i'jab. Yani, don't praise yourself in such a way that indicates that you are, yani, admiring yourself, pleased with yourself, amazed at yourself. أما على سبيل الاعتراف بالنعمة فحسن. As far as the person who mentions something from the angle of acknowledgement of the favors of Allah upon you, then this is good. يعني that a person says, Alhamdulillah, يعني who has favored us. يعني Allah has favored us with Islam. He has guided us to the Sunnah. He has given us correct understanding of the deen. يعني from the angle of what? Acknowledgement, اعتراف بنعمة الله. That's okay. But as far as saying, MashaAllah, I've learned a lot, I'm really learned, I've memorized the Quran, I've done this, that, and the other, I pray every night, and I fast on Mondays and Thursdays, this is what is prohibited. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَيْ تُخْبِرُونَ النَّاسِ بِتَهَارَتِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّمَدُّحِ. يعني don't tell the people about yourself in the manner or in the way of يعني praising, yani as a means of praising yourself. The Shaykh, after mentioning this ayah, And yani, of course, this principle is what? Al-Hadr, being cautioned, being warned, being aware, be aware of this kind of thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah, وَلَا فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Rather, it is Allah who knows best, who has achieved at-taqwa. Yani, this ayah is mentioned in Surah Al-Najm, 53rd Surah, 32nd ayat. Here, the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhu Allah, he says, فَنَهَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْ مَدْحَ النَّفْسِ بِمَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى زَكَاتِهِ وَصَلَاحِهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited the human being from praising oneself in a way that suggests that you are pure and that you are righteous. So every one of us, if we talk about ourselves, we should be careful. I remember Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him. I felt so sorry for the radio announcer who was interviewing him, because the announcer asked him to tell us something about yourself. And the Sheikh like said, yani, talk about myself? What am I going to say about myself? And then the man tried to get him, and the Sheikh was like, yani, I felt like, he's not going to talk about himself, you might as well go on to the next question. Yani, subhanAllah, one of the major scholars in the world today, the people of Sunnah, and he doesn't have anything to say about himself. But some of us, may Allah save us from such, we have lots to say about ourselves. All that we have accomplished, all that we have done, all of our abilities, our greatness and everything. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. But we will see in the what the Shaykh has mentioned here, how the people of righteousness, the people from the Salaf, especially the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who followed in their way, how this was the example for the people of Sunnah today. The scholars of today, how they are following the example of the people who are the best of generations. That is, Ashab Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Shaykh, he mentions this ayah, that is the principle, the basis for which this principle, yani the basis for this principle. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Yani he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who knows best, the one who has achieved a taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised a person from, has prohibited a person from praising himself in such a way that indicates his purity or his righteousness. لِأَنَّ التَّقْوَى مَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبِ. The reason why Allah has forbidden is indicated in the ayat itself. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ التَّقَى. Yani it's because taqwa is مَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبِ. Yani its place is the heart. Taqwa is not seen on the fingertips or on the face or on the body. It's in the heart. Taqwa is in the heart. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هُوَ عَلَمُ بِمَنْ حَصَلَتْ مِنْهُ التَّقْوَى. And Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, He is the best knower of who has achieved التَّقْوَى. And then the Shaykh also mentions, besides what's mentioned in the ayah, he said, وَلِأَنَّ هَذَا الْمَدْحُ لِلنَّفْسِ سَبَبٌ لِدْخُولَ الْعُجْبَ عَلَيْهَا. And also, yani, it is, we should be warned from, yani, praising, ascribing purity or righteousness to ourselves, because praising oneself is a cause that leads to al-ujb, entering upon the human being. Yani that a person becomes a self-admirer, amazed with oneself, pleased with oneself. From what? From praising oneself, it causes you to be subjected to the sickness, the yani effect of al-ujb. وَسَبَبٌ لِلْرِيَاءَ الَّذِي هُوَ مُحْبِتٌ لِلْأَعْمَالِ. And also, this praising oneself is also a cause of arriya. Yani, what is arriya? Ostentation, showing off. Naam. That a person does things to be seen by others, so that people can see you doing something, so that they can praise you. Yani, this praising of oneself is also a cause of riya, that you will begin to want people to see you doing those things that you think you are great at. And this riya is that which causes the destruction. Muhbit lil a'mal, the destruction of one's deeds. Yani like shirk and riya al-ujbu causes the person's deeds to be destroyed. Then the Shaykh, after mentioning this ayah and brief discussion concerning its meaning, he said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُ مَهْمَا اجْتَهَدَ فِي فِعْلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَاجْتِنَابِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَزَالُ مُقَصِّرًا وَظَالِمًا لِنَفْسِهِ. Huh? That the believer, the mu'min, person who has iman, the real believer, no matter how hard that person strives in the doing of righteous deeds and avoiding of forbidden things, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَزَالُ مُقَصِّرُ. He will continue to be مُقَصِّر and ظَالِمًا لِنَفْسِهِ. مُقَصِّر, here the meaning of مُقَصِّر, he will continue to be مُقَصِّر in reference to what? The rights of Allah, the حقوق of Allah. He will continue to fall short in fulfilling the rights of Allah. And not only that, but he will also be ظَالِم لِنَفْسِهِ. So in both sides, he will yani fall short, no matter how hard a person strives to do righteous deeds, no matter how much effort they make to avoid the forbidden things, they will continue to be falling short in fulfilling the right of Allah. And they will continue to be a ظَالِم لِنَفْسِ, yani falling short in the rights of Allah, what Allah has made obligatory on us. And ظَالِم لِنَفْسِهِ, yani meaning in? And committing those things that Allah has prohibited. That means you are ظالم لنفسك. Yani you are wrongdoer, oppressor of your own self when you commit sins. Yani it's prohibited to do wrong to others, it's also prohibited to do wrong to yourself. So you will continue to be, no matter what effort you make, every one of us, the believer, no matter how great they are, they will continue to fall short in fulfilling the rights of Allah, and they will continue to yani fall into that which is ظلم, yani wrongdoing to their own self. The proof of this, a proof of this, one of the proofs of this is إذا كان أبو بكر وإذا كان أبو بكر رضي الله عنه صديق هذه الأمة وخير الناس بعد الأنبياء لما سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يعلمه دعاء أن يدعو الله به في صلاته علمه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقول اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. فكيف شأن بمن هو دونه. يعني the Shaykh, he says, if it is so that Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, the Siddiq of this Ummah, يعني the one who is confirmed for his truthfulness in speech, in actions, and in that which is in the heart, صدق في القلب والصدق على اللسان والصدق في الأعمال. If it is Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, who is the Siddiq of this Ummah, and he is the best of all humanity after the prophets, what kind of statement is this? He is the best, خير الناس بعد الأنبياء. يعني other than the prophets and messengers, he is the best of humanity, Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then you have people, and I'm not going to get sidetracked, we don't have a lot of time between Maghrib and Isha, but we have people who curse Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then some people want to know, I mean, these people are Muslims, and have compassion and sympathy for people who curse Abu Bakr Siddiq, and curse Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anha, and curse Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of Abu Bakr. They curse them, na'am. Not to mention they don't believe in the Quran. And they don't believe in the Sunnah. Rather, I have read researches from some of their major scholars of contemporary times where they wrote about their science of Rijal. The science of Rijal. What is the Rijal? The men, the narrators of Hadith. Wallahi, in their books of Rijal, they don't have the narrators of the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. They have the narrators of the sayings of the 12 infallible Imams. I read this myself from their research, from their scholars. In fact, I have the research in my home still. I kept it as a proof. These are the people that we want to have compassion for. Why? So the Shaykh, he says, if in fact it is Abu Bakr Siddiq, who had, when he asked the Prophet ﷺ to teach him a dua that he may call upon Allah with in his salat, the Prophet ﷺ taught Abu Bakr Siddiq, yani the Siddiq of this Ummah, the best of humanity after the Prophets and Messengers, he told him, say, O Allah, indeed, verily, certainly, I have wronged myself. ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا. Yani, ظُلْمًا here is what? Yeah, but why he's saying, ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا. Does anybody know? مَفْعُولٌ مُطْلَقٌ. Yani, ظُلْمًا here, mentioned the second time, the Masdar, is to emphasize what he already emphasized when he said, Inni ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. He already said, indeed, I have wronged myself. And then he confirmed it further by saying, ظُلْمًا. And he didn't stop there, he said, ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا. With a lot of wrongdoing. I have wronged myself greatly, so much. This is what the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr to say in your salat. And then he said, وَلَا يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And then say, and there's no one who forgives sins except you, Allah alone. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. And therefore, forgive me, O Allah. You are the only one who forgives sins. So forgive me with a forgiveness that's from yourself. وَرْحَمْنِي. And have mercy upon me. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, you and you alone are the one who forgives and the one who is merciful. And in this supplication, there are a lot of benefits. From amongst the benefits, just quickly, is that the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr in this hadith to say, فَغْفِرْلِي, forgive me, and وَرْحَمْنِي, and have mercy upon me. And then he ended by mentioning the names of Allah that are related to forgiveness and mercy, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Please pay attention to this, because it's very important in supplicating. When you ask Allah for something, it is appropriate, suitable, that you call on Him by the name that's related to what you're asking Him for. You're asking for Maghfirah, so He is Al-Ghafoor. You're asking for Rahmah, and He is Ar-Rahim. The Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr, this is what you should supplicate in your prayer with. If that is what he said to Abu Bakr Siddiq, فَكَيْفَ أَشَّعْنُ بِمَنْ هُوَ دُونَهُ. So then what about those who are less than him? Yani, meaning everybody else other than the prophets and messengers. Everybody else on the earth is less than Abu Bakr Siddiq. So if this is what he should be saying in his salat, then what about the rest of us? What should we be saying? And by the way, this is a supplication that yani, nobody's excused. We all need to learn this and to say it all the time. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions yani, the discussion or the question of Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. When she asked, that is Aisha radiallahu anha, about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. When Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the saying of Allah, and those who are giving what it is, whatever that they are giving, yani the good deeds that they're doing, whether salat or zakat or siyam or sadaqah or hajj, or righteous deeds in general. Those people who were doing righteous deeds, when they were giving and doing those deeds, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. Allah is describing the believers in a series of ayats in this surah al-Mu'minun. And this is the 23rd surah, 60th ayah. And the ayats before that, he's describing the believers. And he mentions from amongst their characteristics is those who, when they give whatever they give, their hearts are وَجِلَةٌ. Their hearts are in fear. أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَعْنِي لِأَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. The meaning of it, أَنَّهُمْ لِأَنَّهُمْ. That their hearts are in fear because they know that they are going to return to their Rabb for accounting. Yani they're doing all kinds of good deeds, and while they're doing it, their heart is in fear of the return and account to their Lord. قَالَتْ أَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَشْرَبُونَ الْخَمَ وَيَسْرِقُونَ. Aisha said, are these those who are drinking alcohol and stealing? Yani they did some good deeds, but why are they in fear of the standing before their Lord? Because probably they're doing other stuff. They're drinking, smoking, gambling, yani stealing. Is that why they are in fear? And the Prophet ﷺ said to her, La ya bint as-Siddiq. No, O daughter of as-Siddiq. Walakinnahum alladhina yasumuna wa yusalluna wa yatasaddaquna wa hum yakhafuna an la tuqbala minhum. No, they are not in fear of the return to their Lord because they are drinking alcohol and they are stealing, committing crimes, O bint as-Siddiq. Rather, they are those who are fasting, and they are those who are praying, and they are those who are giving sadaqah. But they are in fear that it will not be accepted from them. They are in fear that all of the good that they're doing may not, this is what their hearts are in fear of. Yani, people today probably are not even in fear that they are drinking alcohol, or stealing, or lying, or cheating, or gambling. They're not even afraid, they're just doing it. I'm talking about Muslims. These people were in fear, not that they were, because they were committing crimes, they were in fear that the good that they were doing, though plentiful, that it may not be accepted. That was their fear. And if we do good deeds, probably we assume that it's automatically accepted. We assume. But that assumption could be a dangerous one. Some of the scholars, they said that what they were giving was sadaqah and righteous deeds. And some of them said what they were giving or what they were doing was salat and zakat and hajj and other than this. And some of them said, yani, that there was all kinds of good deeds that they were doing, but the reason why their heart was in fear was because they were afraid of the time when their deeds would be brought forward to be. Yani, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi says, Yani, in the ard al-a'malihim alayhi. Yani, when their deeds are brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْغُقُوفُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, and they are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنْ تَكُونَ عَمَالُهُمْ غَيْرَ مُنْجِيَةً مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ, that perhaps their deeds will not be sufficient to save them from the punishment of Allah. And this is due to their knowledge of their Rabb and knowing what he is entitled to. يعني مَا يَسْتَحَقُّهُ مِنْ أَسْنَافَ الْعِبَادِ, knowing what Allah was entitled to, they felt that perhaps they may have fallen short. Also, yani, not only the right of Allah upon them, but also they were, yani, they know that Allah is due more than that and greater than that, and also they felt that maybe they haven't even done all that is due upon them, due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he mentions this hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi and Shaykh al-Albani and Sahih al-Sadr al-Sahih. He mentions the saying, the last two points that we mention here, he mentions the saying of Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika, rahimahullah, who said, أَدْرَكْتُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ثَلَاثِينَ صَحَابِيًّا كُلُّهُمْ يَخَافُ النِّفَاقَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And this statement of Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika, first of all, what do we know about Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika? One thing at least that we know from what we just read. Yani Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika, he said that I met more than 30 companions. All of them were in fear of hypocrisy upon themselves. At least one thing that we know from what is stated here, Naam ya Sulaiman, that he was from Tabi'in. How do we know he's from Tabi'in? Because the ta'rif, the definition of Tabi, is a person who met one of the Sahaba, at least one of the Sahaba, while he was a believer and died upon Islam. While he was a believer, he met him. Not he met him before he accepted Islam, met him while he was a believer, and he died upon Islam. In the same way, the definition of Sahabi, the best and most correct definition, is the one who met the Prophet ﷺ during his lifetime. That person was a believer when he met him, and he died upon Islam. He didn't leave Islam after that. Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika, rahimahullah, says, I reached more than 30 companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. All of them were in fear of nifaq. And then, Sakhallah Khair. Allahu Akbar. Shalom Da'ilah. Shalom Da'ilah. Shalom Da'ilah. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. مبارك. Anybody know what time is the Qama? 8:30. طيب. The last two comments that the Sheikh makes here. Yani is the statement of Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika that he met more than 30 of the companions of the Prophet, all of them. كلهم يخافوا النفاق على نفسه. What about this على نفسه? What is the point of this?
They
were concerned about themselves. They wasn't thinking so and so, he looks like he's a munafiq. I think so and so is a munafiq. لا يخافوا النفاق على نفسه. Every one of them was looking at his own self. Unlike the people today, we look at everybody around us, especially if they're in our clique, in our hizb, in our group, in our gang, whatever words you want to use to call it. Then we look at them, yani, carefully. What does he have? What did he do? what this one looks like, he's a munafiq. Huh? But these people, they were only looking at themselves. Everybody is looking at himself, and he's concerned about perhaps I have fallen into some kind of nifaq. I just want to comment briefly, yani, Al-Alama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions yani this statement of Ibn al-Mulaika. He said he's one of the tabi'eens, and this statement is mentioned by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in the book of Iman. And then he mentions that Ibn Abi Mulaika said that I met more than 30 companions in the Messenger of Allah. All of them were fearing for themselves hypocrisy. Here Ibn al-Qayyim quotes from the commentary on this statement. Statement is mentioned by Imam Bukhari. And it's not a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he doesn't mention it as one of the hadith of Bukhari, but it's mentioned yani in the commentary. I mean in his yani Imam Bukhari's statements other than the hadith. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, in commenting on this statement, he says that the Sahaba that Ibn Abi Mulaika had met from amongst the most noble of them. Yani, who were these 30 companions that Ibn Abi Mulaika met? From amongst the most noble of them was the likes of Aisha radiallahu anha. The people that he's talking about, that every one of them was fearing nifaq upon themselves, from amongst them was the likes of Aisha. This is what Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said. Like of Aisha radiallahu anha. Wa ukhtuha Asma radiallahu anha. Wa Salama radiallahu anha. والعبادل الأربعة وأبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أجمعين. العبادل الأربعة. Who is العبادل الأربعة? Anybody raise their hand. One. Anybody else? Raise your hand. العبادل الأربعة. Who's that back there? أبو بكر and Abdul Haq and Abdul Halim. نعم. You put raise your hand first.
Abdullah bin Umar.
Abdullah bin Umar. Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Abdullah bin. No. Not Abdullah bin Mas'ud. العبادل الأربعة. All of them were Sigar al-Sahaba. They were all young boys in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They lived a long life and they collected knowledge. Now, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Az-Zubayr, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. These were all young companions in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They lived a long life and they collected a tremendous amount of knowledge such that yani, knowledge was taken from them. They were the source of knowledge, of fatwa, of riwayah. It was from these four, yani, Abdullahs, Ubaidah, yani, Abadila, because they were young children in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they lived a long life to pass that knowledge on to others. These were from the people that Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika said, I met 30, more than 30 companions of the Prophet, and all of them, including these kind of people, were saying that they feared nifaq upon themselves. وَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ بِالسِّنِّ جَمَعَةً أَجَلُّ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ. And then Al-Hafiz, rahimahullah, he says, and he even met some who were more noble than them. More noble than those who we mentioned. Who could that be? From those who are Al-Ashr al-Mubashirin bil-Jannah. Yani including Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. These were the likes of the people that he met. And he said that they were all fearing the fact on themselves. I want to make just a couple of quick points related to this. Hafiz, he mentions, وَقَدْ جَزَمَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَخَافُونَ النِّفَاقِ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ. This important point that we don't go somewhere else with this, that they feared nifaq, that they feared that they were really kafirs pretending to be Muslims. No. The nifaq that they were fearing is النِّفَاقِ الْعَمَلِ الْعَمَلِ. Yani that in their deeds maybe there was some mixture with the ikhlas, something mixed in the polluting the sincerity. Yani he said that He said with definiteness that what they were fearing of nifaq was in deeds, and it hasn't been conveyed or narrated from anyone from the people of the Salaf contrary to this meaning. Therefore, it's like it is ijma, and this is because the believer, Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, how is it that they could fear nifaq, yani upon themselves? ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ قَدْ يُعْرَضُ عَلَيْهِ فِي عَمَلِهِ مَا يَشُوبُهُ مِمَّا يُخَالِفَ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَلَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ خَوْفِهِمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وُقُوعُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْهُمْ وُقُوعُ مِنْهُمْ. Yani this is because the believer, this is the condition of the believer, that perhaps sometimes there may occur in his deeds that which will corrupt it or pollute it, yani that which is in contradiction to ikhlas. Perhaps that could happen in the deeds of the believer, of the real believer. وَلَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ خَوْفِهِمْ. And the fact that they feared that perhaps some of their deeds could have been polluted by the absence of pure sincerity, the fact that they feared it doesn't necessarily mean that it actually happened. But it means what? That they were concerned about this. And even they were the best of the people, and they were concerned that perhaps sometimes we might have fallen into something other than pure sincerity in our deeds. And then there are some other sayings here, but for the sake of time, we're going to skip this and say, and from this is the perspective from which the companions of the Prophet ﷺ feared an-nifaq upon their own selves. Nifaq al-amali, that is, that perhaps it could be, it may have happened sometimes that they did a deed that could have been mixed with something other than pure ikhlas, and this is what they were fearing in themselves. They were not fearing that, I'm not sure if I'm really a believer. Okay, the Shaykh, he closes, and we're going to close here with the final statement, which also alludes to the previous statement, the statement of Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, al-mu'minu jama'a ihsanan wa shafaqatan, wal-munafiqu jama'a isa'atan wa amnan, thumma tala al-Hasan, rahimahullah, inna alladhina hum min khashyati rabbihim mushfiqoon. And Hasan al-Basri, he said, in comparing, in contrasting the difference between the believer and the hypocrite, the mu'min combines or joins these two things, ihsan and shafaqatan. Yani ihsan meaning the doing of deeds well, doing them perfectly. Yani worshipping Allah the way it deserves to be worshipped, or as the Prophet ﷺ said, when he explained what is ihsan, or when the angel Jibril explained what is ihsan, and in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that ihsan is what? إن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. يعني that they used to worship Allah as though they are seeing Him. And if they couldn't reach that level, then the next level is to worship Allah being conscious and aware that indeed Allah is seeing you. They used to combine this ihsan in the worship of Allah and the ihsan, the kindness and goodness and charity and generosity and mercy and compassion to the people. Both types of ihsan, they used to combine that with shafaqatan, yani khawf min Allah. Yani they used to do well in their worship of Allah, and still, along with that, they still had fear of falling short and fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling the duties that are upon them, or falling into that which might be displeasing to Allah. While the munafiq jama'a isa'atan wa amnan. Yani the munafiq is just the opposite. They combine between isa'a, doing things poorly, not doing it well, doing evil, falling short, corrupting the whole affair, and at the same time, while they are doing nothing of good, they're also feeling safe and secure, like I'm good to go. This is the difference between the mu'min and the munafiq. And this indeed, Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, in this statement, he has made clear to us, the contrast between where we should be and where we should not be. Where we should be trying to excel. To reach a state of excellence in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the kindness and justice to the people, to the ibadullah. And join that with, even with all the effort that we make, still having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we may fall short. And that perhaps our deeds will not be accepted. Where we should not be like the people who don't do any good, just do everything wrong, committing evil and sin and corruption day and night, and still feeling like I'm going to be alright. Because Allah's mercy is wasi'ah. And also His adab is shadeed. So this is the end of what the Shaykh mentioned here. I think this topic, even though it's coming near the end, it's next to the last principle, it is certainly not an indication of its lack of importance. Being cautioned from al-ujb, that we be careful that we don't think of ourselves as more than what we are. Rather, we should humbly stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what efforts that we make of doing good and avoiding evil, and realize that Allah deserves more than that. Allah is more worthy of that. Whatever we have done, Allah is more worthy than that. And He deserves better than that. And we have all fallen short in fulfilling our duty to Allah, and we have all wronged our own selves in committing those things, whether they are even small or great, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success Yani enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to avoid that which is displeasing to Him. And may He grant us success to remain firm upon that which is yani as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And success is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And this is going to be the time for the class, right? For the rest of this course. Few classes that's remaining. Naam. Oh yeah, and I also want to say that brothers and sisters, let us remember that the incident that we heard about in the news today or last night, let us remember that this, you know, that Allah has power over everything. And that Allah sees and Allah knows and Allah is going to call to account us and everyone else. Don't imagine that some people can do evil and harm the Muslims and they will not be accountable. It doesn't matter if the government calls them to account or not. That's not important. But the punishment of Allah is shadeed. Know that. Don't become reactionary. Don't become angry. Somebody did something, we're going to do something. That's not our way. We are not reactionaries. We're the people who abide by the law of Allah, who stick to the Sharia of Islam and follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we remember and we are well aware and we believe with confidence that nobody is going to do anything except that they call to account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including us. We're also going to be called to account. Just remember that. Don't be a reactionary. But put your trust in Allah. Be alert. Be vigilant. Put your trust in Allah. And know that if any harm comes to you, it's by the decree of Allah. And whoever does wrong, Allah will call them to account. Without a doubt. La shakka fi. Wa la rayba. Barakallahu feekum. Be alert. Be vigilant. Especially with the sisters, the women, the children, and brothers also. Be alert. Pay attention. There are a lot of people. And we already knew it, but some of us, we forget sometimes. There are a lot of people who hate Islam and the Muslims. There are lots of people who hate Islam and the Muslims. And sometimes, yani, this is the manifestation of it. But it's there even when it doesn't become openly manifest. This is our reality. We don't have to wait for an incident like this to take place to start being alert. Rather, we should be alert all the time. Now, may Allah protect and preserve us. Allah is harder than mu'mineen.